ask you in any stronger terms than to make a contribution in support of equal rights and justice with Mimi Rosenberg on WBAI. It's 10 o'clock. Coming up next, The Collision.
Say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo. Hey, young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day, or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome to The Collision, where sports and politics collide, here at your home for jazz and justice at 89.3 FM WPFW. This is your co-host, Chuck Modiano, who will be here with Coach Kevin McNutt, and we are spelling Dave Zirin and Etan Thomas, who we love, and we cannot wait for both of their books to come out. And this is the NBA Finals edition. We just had an epic finals. How you doing, Coach? How's everything?
I'm doing well. You know, I got to say this. I love the opening of this show that's put together, especially Ali saying, I ain't know nothing about it. I just
took right.
Every time I hear that. but he might have all things Ali, so, you know.
Well, you know, there is a lot of history in that intro, and they slipped in Oscar Robertson, and we're going to have a chance to talk a little bit about Oscar and Kareem 50 years after they won the NBA Finals back in 1971 and what it means. We're obviously going to talk about Giannis dropping the 50 hammer. Wow. That was an incredible performance. We're going to talk about the meaning of Kevin Durant's big toe on the line in the second round, that if it was an inch further back, there would be no Giannis dropping 50. And what does that all mean about who a winner is and who a winner isn't and how arbitrary that can be? We will talk about the legacy of Chris Paul. Get your thoughts on that. I know you're close to Monty Williams, so I want to hear your thoughts on Monty Williams. So this is the NBA Finals edition. And if we have time, we'll hit a little bit of NFL Olympics and anything else.
Right.
But first, Coach McNutt, what did you think about Game 6 and Giannis dropping 50? What are your thoughts on that game?
I'm just feeding off your energy, man. I mean, you should have been out on that court, man, or at least doing the TV.
I hope I wouldn't be out on the court for the Suns, because I would be getting embarrassed by Giannis.
Yeah, you get embarrassed by me, but that's another story. So yeah.
That's probably true.
And I'm 112.
That's probably true.
The game was as advertised. Good basketball right. game. You know, from last year's bubble to seeing the crowd in the building as well as outside the building, that's what sports is all about. I mean, it's such a great feeling. I'm just hoping things can settle down. I'm going big picture with people still getting sick from the virus and all of that.
Let me pause you. Let's talk about it, because at first you're like, that's what it's all about. We saw 65,000 people outside of the arena going crazy, which also prompted Jeff Van Gundy during the telecast to say, Dr. Fauci would be cringing right now. You know, they were all maskless. So so let me throw that out there. You're conflicted. This is beautiful. The fans are there. And are we spreading this virus out there? What's going on?
I mean, you know, I'm thinking ahead. I'm saying, yeah, okay. I mean, it is beautiful and it's where we want to be. But, you know, there's another storm heading there. Are we going to go back to what we were before? Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm contorted on that. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, let's stay on the game, your original question.
Okay. Okay.
Great basketball game. Because, I mean, you're getting a whole different, you know, we can lose total track of sports on this thing.
Okay.
They're going on that one. Giannis, all you can say. The big thing, when he gets a 50-piece, man, you have to look at that. And I think it was ideal for him because there was no matchup with Phoenix. Ayton was lost in space. And, you know, you just saw
that.
You see, he couldn't guard him. Crowder's too small. Yep. They don't have, you know, they don't have anybody off the bench that can really do anything. So the only thing you can really – a lot of people saying, oh, Monty Williams, come on, you can't let your best player get 50 on you. You got to do whatever you got to do. You got to force the ball out of his hands. You got to put up the wall, all of this and all of that. It was just an ideal matchup. And basketball is about matchups. And they had no answer for Giannis, but not many people do. You know, people are saying that about Monty Williams, and you can't let him get 50. He averaged 31.5 in the Brooklyn series. So,
right.
So, you know, Giannis is a bad boy. And here's the thing, Chuck. Giannis, if you ask me, I will still say, I said it on the show, we've had this discussion before, that he is still, he's an athletic marvel, more so than he is a skilled basketball player.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, he can take the ball the length of the floor. Not many guys at 6'11", 7 feet can dribble the length of the floor. Snatch, block the shot, get the rebound, dribble the length of the floor, and finish with a, with a Euro step. So, I mean, that he's gifted in some levels. But basically, he doesn't have a go-to shot. I want him shooting fadeaways and three-pointers all day long. So he's only 26, so he is nowhere near the best that he's going to be.
He could develop those skills over time, as many people have in their 20s who got by on athleticism. But I agree with your overall assessment. I heard a lot of these people who are couch coaches who were like, you have to have a better defensive strategy. Look what Toronto did a few years ago. Well, Toronto's wall had Marc Gasol, Siakam, and Kawhi Leonard on that front line. All great defensive players with two people around 7 feet. Well, that's a little bit different. Then if you go to Miami last year, well, you have Bam Adebayo, you have Jimmy Butler, both incredible strong defenders of different types and different sizes. You had a couple 7-footers who could come off the bench. You had the personnel to build that wall. So it's not this idea of, well, you didn't implement the right strategy. They don't have the right personnel. All you had is Ayton as far as a big body. And when Giannis was going at Ayton, he was getting Ayton in foul trouble and putting him on the bench, which, you know, obviously affected their offense as well. Then the few times they did try to double team, Giannis was finding Middleton open or making the pass that would go around to the open person. So this incredible strategy people are talking about, I don't know what you do when Phoenix is your personnel. And like you said, the playoffs are about matchups. It's not just that Giannis stepped up. It's that he had a great matchup as well. And sometimes it's just that.
It's exactly right. And you mentioned the Toronto 2 years ago, Milwaukee, and Miami last year that stopped him. Well, he didn't have the supporting cast that you had to respect more so.
Yes.
You know, Middleton continued to grow in his game, you know what I'm saying? And to where he is – I was looking at him for – I never saw the athleticism that for him to be – in the top all-star. He's all-star, but in that, you know, starting mode or top all-star. I said he didn't have athleticism, but he does have the skill set, you know, the shot, the fadeaway, the jumper, the three-pointer, and all of that. And he's improved to where he is a legitimate Robin to Giannis's Batman, so that you have to respect more than you had to do over the last 2 years when Toronto and Miami said, hey, wall up Giannis, try somebody else to beat us, and they couldn't. The guard that
Holiday
replaced
Eric Bledsoe.
Bledsoe, when the lights shine brightest, he wilted. And you know, it was, especially with his shot. So you didn't have to respect him. So that was a big change and an upgrade. So as the team got better, they made the changes, and just the player personnel they had got better. Lopez got better, and Bud's coaching got better. So you had to respect, but still, I always go back to Jim Valvano, who, again, it's college when he was at NC State. He would never let the team's number one gun beat him. He did a lot of creative things to do, and when he won his title at NC State. But his motto was, I'm not going to let your best player beat you. But I'm not saying, and the only thing they really could do was say, okay, let's double Giannis, let's force him to throw the ball out, and hope the other guys make it with the threes, because they only shot, I think, 6 for 22 in the last game. But
right,
you know, that's all second guessing, and like you said, couch coaching.
But your point about mm-hmm. the help can't be overstated. There was a game in game two, Giannis scored 40 and he got no help. Middleton and Holiday had terrible shooting games. So Giannis could score 40 and get no help. And that is a strategy of itself. The Knicks used to play the Bulls the closest, and they would let Michael get his 40-50. And they said, if we could get Pete Pippen out of it, if we could get Horace Grant standing around out of it, let Michael get his 40-50 and we'll win. And they were very competitive that way, more competitive than any other team. So it's not necessarily a wrong strategy. I do understand the strategy of don't let the best player beat you, but then you have to look at the supporting cast.
Right.
And you are right. Middleton made a huge leap. And you are also right. Holiday is an upgrade over Bledsoe. And even when Holiday has a bad shooting game, he had 4 steals the other night. Middleton mm-hmm. also had 4 steals the other night. Mm-hmm. The defense is there. He saved the game on that critical steal the game before, and Giannis mm-hmm. with the dunk. We're talking about a multifaceted player, and we're also talking mm-hmm. about the defense Holiday brings, the defense Middleton brings, the defense Giannis brings. Bobby Portis, who is also a new acquisition, comes off the bench, giving you big minutes on defense, giving you some points. These are mm-hmm. the types of players that help win championships. Mm-hmm. And then when we're talking about supporting cast, we can't overlook the fact that Giannis was out 2 games, and mm-hmm. Brook Lopez stepped up and scored 33 points 33. Against the Hawks on 14 right. for 18 shooting. Bobby mm-hmm. Portis stepped up, and I'm going to give you credit. You know I don't like to give you credit. But let me give you credit because we had a show, and I said, Giannis looks like he's going to be out of the game. What needs to happen? And you said, Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis needs to step up. And it hurts me to give you this type of love, but you called it. You called it, and people need to know that you called it, and it happened.
That's all right. I don't need butter on me. I'm secure in what I'm saying. You know?
That was a prediction.
I'm going to put some butter on you, just what you said about Lopez. Because I'm looking at the steps as you speak. He was 1 rebound away from a triple-double. And that's been shooting 14 for 19. He had 12 points, Ooh. 11 assists, 9 rebounds, 4 steals. So he was, and within the 4 steals, he's just talking about tormenting Chris Paul. Where, you know, and sometimes Booker. I thought he was on more Booker more than he was in any other game. But the point of it is, he was 1 rebound from a triple-double. So, you know what I mean? Despite shooting 4 for 19, that's how critical and vital he was. And like you said, you mentioned the steal in game, 5? You know,
he made Booker work. He made Booker work for everything.
Yep.
You know, and it's interesting because Booker might score 40 because Booker's that good, but he'll do it off hard shots. And then some of those bad habits might carry over to the next game when Booker doesn't have it going. The law of averages says if you keep taking very difficult shots, you're not always going to drop 40. You're going to have some bad games. And that's what Holiday does.
Right.
He makes you take bad shots.
Yep. Booker 8 for 22, 0 for 7 for 3. So, and a lot of that, because I don't think the guys mentioned it in the booth, because I was so locked in, but I thought that Holiday was on Booker more than Paul this game. And I think that might have been adjustment, or maybe just some switching. I don't know, but
Booker. They did a lot of switches they did a lot of switches. And like I said, when Booker's on, nobody could stop him. But if you make him work, it could be on game, off game. And that's what we saw. And that's what we saw. He was trying to win it by himself a little bit. And you know that will come in time. You know, you make those adjustments. Booker has been fantastic, so I have nothing but love for him. But I want to talk about I want to talk about Kevin Durant's toe for a second, okay?
Because
this is really interesting. I'm listening to all these media people giving praise to Giannis, and I love Giannis, and I'm giving praise to him. But I'm hearing all this praise for Giannis, and I can't help but think, had Kevin Durant's toe in the second round, when he shot that shot at the end of regulation, if it was half an inch farther back, the Nets win in regulation, the Bucks are gone, and the same people showering praise on Giannis are saying, he can't win the big one. He doesn't have what it takes. He just can't get it done in the speak of sports media insanity, right? And I'm uncomfortable with that, because if the arbitrary fact of a half inch of Kevin Durant's toe is separating the legacy of who we call a winner and who we call a loser, then in my opinion, there's really no distinction at all. Then can't we use our imagination to see who is a great player without having this validation of a title that we put on players? I'm uncomfortable with it. So I need to know what are your thoughts? Is Giannis now a great player because Kevin Durant's toe touched the line, or was he always a great player? What are your thoughts?
Okay. Wow. Several ways we can go with that. Yes, Giannis is a great player. And again, I go back to Giannis's, I can't know exactly what year. I think it might have been his third or fourth year when he first made his first All-Star team. He's been a year eight. He's been in the league 8 years now. He led his team in scoring, rebounding, assists, steals, block shots. Five categories that I think only three or four men have done in the NBA in terms of leading this team in five categories. You admired his energy and tenacity, hardworking ethic. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, everybody marveled at his size and length and what he can do in terms of bringing the ball down the court, we just mentioned. So yes, he was a great player. The only distinction now with the toe is that in being on the line is that now he's a champion. Okay. But everybody says, okay, yeah, you work hard and things have to go right. And going right is part luck and winning by inches. I mean, you can go through all history. When we talked about this in production, and you were in our production meeting, that you're going to talk about that topic, how close that toe was. I thought of the the Rams with Kurt Warner and that team that beat was it Houston or the Texans? The Texans were driving on the last drive, and they threw the McNair threw the ball, and the guy
it was McNair it 1 yard short,
and missed by a yard. So you can talk about putts that missed in the Masters and things of that nature. I'll give you an example there, and again I'm starting to ramble here because when you brought that up, you have my mind spinning. Freddie Couples, and again a lot of people don't probably don't watch golf, but I do. He won a major. He won the Masters. And they call it the 12th hole, and you hit the ball, and if you miss the green, the hillside, the ball just rolls right down into the creek, and then you got the penalty shot, so for so on. For some miraculous reason, he did that, and his ball stopped short of gravity, held it up in the grass, and he went on to win the tournament. So, I mean, they're all through history. My bottom line, there's a luck component in this thing, too.
Right. So if we know there's a luck component, well, there are two things. There's a luck component, but what I would separate golf or tennis a little bit, because those are individual sports, right?
And
when we talk about a team sport, there's a team component, meaning when Kevin Durant had dropped 48 in game 7, and Kevin Durant was just incredible. He ran out of gas in overtime, but he was incredible in that game. In that same game, Giannis dropped 40 points. His teammates didn't step up. We didn't get good shooting from Middleton and Holiday on that game. Let's say Kevin Durant makes it. Why can't we say Giannis dropped 40? He carried his team. He's amazing. Like, why do we need this luck component? Are we overvaluing, and I'm tipping my hand and saying, yes, we are, but are we overvaluing a title in a team sport when you know you need the support? Doesn't that do disrespect to the Patrick Ewings and the Charles Barkleys and the Karl Malones and the John Stocktons and the Chris Pauls of today who don't have the level of support, and we're saying you're not good enough, you can't get it done, when the real answer is you may not have been quite as lucky or had quite as good support. And let me mind you, let me tell you something. Then you know this. They were saying this about Michael Jordan in his first 7 years, and he wasn't like Bird, and he wasn't like Magic, and you can't play that way, and you can't win a scoring title and a championship. He was being denigrated for the same thing before the development of Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant. Is that fair?
It's first of all, it's the way sports is, because that's the thing about sports. You can always, you know, argue and all that kind of stuff. But here's the bottom line. Everybody that you just mentioned are HOF, so they got their just due. You know, debating legacy and whether they're top five and all of that, they are HOF. Everyone of them. So an only distinction you can make about, first of all, HOF, that's the greatest individual honor you can get. And it's not easy to get there. So all those players you mentioned, Ewing, Barkley, they got there. And Paul's going to get there, first ballot. So they got their just due. Now, whether the barbershop talk says, hey, nah, they weren't good because they didn't win championships. Yeah, championships are important. But the only thing you can't say about these people is that they don't have a ring. But they are Hall of Famers, and they were great basketball players in the day. And I leave it at that. I don't get hung up into as well. Let me put it this way: I don't get as fired up about it as you seem to be.
I do get fired up about it, because whether it's the barbershop or whether it's my Twitter timeline where people telling me Chris Paul is a failure, my Twitter timeline showing garbage stats saying, well, Chris Paul is the first player to blow 4-2-0 leads in the playoffs. He can't get it done. And you don't talk about that two and three of those times he had injuries there. Then the false information is going out about Chris Paul, leading people to believe he just doesn't have some winner gene. When the fact is, he hasn't really ever had that supporting cast.
Go ahead. Is there a difference between, I'm just asking, is there a difference between